This is episode number 38 of the Great Openings Music Trivia Podcast. Happy holidays and welcome to the Great Openings Music Trivia Challenge. This week, it's our holiday edition. All of our songs are seasonal songs, Christmas songs you will remember. And as usual, we'll play you the great opening notes of five songs and give you a chance to see if you can identify the songs. And at the end, we'll have a little bit of trivia about each of them. So thank you for downloading and thanks for listening. Thanks for playing along and happy holidays to all of you. This is our holiday edition, our Christmas edition. We have a Christmas theme all lined up and ready to go. I would have liked to actually have released this podcast a little earlier, but as always, the clues and the songs that we feature are those that we do on our live music and entertainment trivia shows, which are on Saturday nights. And so I had to wait until after Saturday night in order to post this show. Otherwise, it is certainly conceivable that somebody might have downloaded and listened before the show, and then they'd have an unfair advantage on Saturday at our live trivia, and we don't want to give anyone any kind of advantage like that, even though, you know, we're all about giving out Christmas presents, but that's not one we're going to do. So these are the clues and the songs that we featured on the Saturday, December 20th editions of Live Music and Entertainment Trivia. And as always, you can find out more about the live shows at thetriviafactory.com. Now, here's the interesting thing. This one's a fun show to do because all of our songs are Christmas novelty songs. We're going to give you five songs. We'll give you the years that they were released, although I got to tell you, most of them are pretty old, but they have stood the test of time. You still hear them played all the time during the Christmas season and on the radio. And these are the fun songs, the novelty songs. And I might add that on Saturday night, we only asked our players to identify the name of the song, not necessarily the artist. However, if you're playing along at home or listening on your iPod, feel free. If you know the answer, we'll just yell it out. Maybe somebody will hear it. Are you ready to go? Here we go. 1953 was the year for our first Christmas novelty song. We're playing a little bit more than we normally do on some of these songs. Some are pretty short, like this one from 1958.
All right, you. All right, you.
Christmas novelty song number three, 1967. Christmas novelty song number four, 1979. And our final hit was recorded in 1955. There you have it. Those are the clues. And by the way, you may have noticed the years were not necessarily in order, but hey, it's Christmas. It's the season. We're not even going to worry about it. The answers we will worry about, and they are coming up in just a minute. couple of comments on our last episode. Let's see, that would have been number 37, and we got some emails, and a couple of our live trivia players mentioned to me that we didn't go into a whole lot of details, although it's really, really interesting. We featured one of the songs was, you remember the theme after Thanksgiving was Thank You, and we played Sly and the Family Stone and Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again. And what we didn't go into during the trivia portion of it, because there were some other things we wanted to talk about, was the unique spelling of the name. The official title is Thank You, and then the rest is in parenthesis. And Sly Stone was pretty clever. He wrote the For Letting Me Be Myself Again portion in some unique spelling that really catches your attention. The way it's spelled is all one word, philetinme, which he spelled F-A-L-E-T-T-I-N-M-E, philetinme, B, mice, as in the little rodents, elf, as in Santa's elf, again, and he spelled that A-G-I-N. And we had a couple of people suggest that during the live trivia shows we should have asked for correct spelling. Well, we did not. Fortunately, although some of the teams, I'm sure, would have known. Thank you for letting me be myself again. We thank Barry, who brought that to our attention, and a couple of other emails as well. If you'd like to comment on any of our shows or tell us a little bit more trivia about them, you can always reach us at jimradio@gmail.com. And that's Jim Radio, which is all one word, J-I-M-R-A-D-I-O. All right, you ready for the answers for tonight? Our first hit was recorded way back in 1953. Young lady was 10 years old at the time. So I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do.
Well, it was recorded by Gayla Peavy. Like I said, she was 10 years old at the time. It was written by a fellow named John Rocks. Gayla Peavy was a child star around Oklahoma City, and there had long been a legend that the song was recorded as a fundraiser to actually help fund a hippo for the city zoo. But in 2007, in a radio interview, Gayla Peavy, now much older than her 10 years old at the time, she clarified that the song was not originally recorded as a fundraiser, but she did say that later on a local promoter picked up on the popularity of the song and launched a campaign to present her with an actual hippopotamus on Christmas. The campaign succeeded, and she was presented with a real hippo, which she then donated to the city zoo. By the way, the hippopotamus lived for nearly 50 years. And by the way, Gayla Peavy, not the only one to record the song I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, also recorded by a couple of other artists, including none other than the Three Stooges.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. A hippopotamus is all I want. Don't want a dog.
Yeah, that's the Three Stooges version of I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Well, Christmas novelty song number two this week. It was 1958.
All right, you chipmunks. Ready to sing your song?
Recorded by Dave Seville and the Chipmunks. It's simply called The Chipmunk Song. Well, the Chipmunks were created, and the song was written by a fellow named Ross Bagdasarian. He was also known as David Seville. He had an earlier number one record with his song, The Witch Doctor. Bagdasarian also, of course, provided the voice for David Seville and the Chipmunk characters in the short-lived 1961 animated TV series called The Alvin Show. And even though he's most noted for the Chipmunks, Bagdasarian was also an actor, and he played minor roles in a number of noteworthy films, including Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. In that film, he was a piano-playing songwriter who played and sang a song called Lisa. Bakhtiarian's dialogue is not clearly heard in the film, and he appears only in long shots, but he is the only other person seen along with Alfred Hitchcock when the famous director had his own notorious cameo appearance. Christmas novelty song this week, number three. It was 1967. Straight out of the comic pages, the Royal Guardsman brought us Snoopy's Christmas.
This was the end when the Baron cried out, "Merry Christmas, my friend!"
Well, Snoopy's Christmas was a follow-up to the Royal Guardsman's earlier hit called Snoopy vs. the Red Baron, and it reached number two on the Billboard charts in December of 1966. The songs, of course, were inspired by the Peanuts comic strip, and Charles Schulz, along with United Features Syndicate, sued the Royal Guardsmen for using the name Snoopy without permission or an advertising license, and they won the suit. The penalty was that all of the publishing revenues from the song would go to Schulz and the publishers. But in the end, Charles Schulz did allow the group to write more Snoopy songs, and the following year they released Snoopy's Christmas. And by the way, the events of the song are based at least partly on a real-life event. During World War I in 1914, an event known as the Christmas Truce took place between the Germans and the British, initiated not by the commanders, but by the soldiers themselves. Novelty song number four from 1979.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Yeah, it's Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
From our house Christmas Eve.
And it was recorded by Elmo and Patsy.
There's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Well, according to Randy Brooks, who wrote the song, he played it while sitting in during a concert or a set with Elmo and Patsy Shropshire at the Hyatt Lake Tahoe in December of 1978. And after the show, they had him make a cassette of the song for them to learn it. A year later, they were selling 45s of the song from the stage during their concerts, and a friend took a copy over to KSFO Radio in San Francisco, where disc jockey Gene Nelson became the first one to play it on the air. And that's how it got started. By the year 2000, there was an animated TV program about the events depicted in the song. And although since it was made for children, the cartoon was toned down a bit. In the end, Grandma did not die, and Santa was actually innocent of the crime, which was instead masterminded by a scheming relative named Cousin Mel. And I like some of the knockoff parodies of the song that have been recorded. Country comedian and radio host Cletus T. Judd turned the song into Grandpa Got Run Over by a John Deere, and a music group from Michigan called Da Youpers rewrote the song as Grandpa Got Run Over by a Beer Truck. And Christmas novelty song number five this episode. It's from 1955. It's Jingle Bells by the Singing Dogs. Well, the song was released by Don Charles and produced by a fellow named Carl Weissman, who worked for the Danish State Radio in Copenhagen, Denmark, and he was a legendary recording engineer who liked to record bird sounds and bird calls. And by the way, he hated dogs. He hated them because their barking spoiled some of his recordings of singing birds, and he became a master at cutting the dogs out of his bird tapes. And in those days, they actually did cut out the bad portions of the tape with scissors or razor blades, and he ended up with a pile of discarded tapes with dogs barking on them. Then he got an idea to put together a tape of various toned dog barks set to music, thinking it might be good for a Danish children's radio show. Originally, it was released with a medley along with Patty Cake and Three Blind Mice and Oh Susanna. But 15 years later, someone found a copy of the record in a Boston used record store, and it made its way to a disc jockey, Howard Smith, at WPLJ in New York City. He started playing the Jingle Bells portion during the Christmas season of 1970, and it was an immediate success. In 3 weeks alone, it sold 420,000 copies, and the combined sales through the years have made it sell more than a million. And that is probably one of the most interesting stories you will hear on the Great Openings podcast. It's the story of Jingle Bells by the Singing Dogs. Well, there you have it for this week. We hope you enjoyed, and we hope you all have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, just a great holiday season, no matter what holiday you celebrate. We always appreciate your comments. You can reach us at jimradio@gmail.com. Show notes are on my blog at jimdriscoll.net. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. It's Twitter/JimDriscoll. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we will see you next time on the Great Openings Music Trivia Challenge.